I know I have talked with you about the difference between an extrovert and an introvert, haven't I? Now, really, at issue is a matter of energy. For an introvert is someone who, though he or she can be extroverted, outgoing with people, it takes energy to do so. And after a while, that battery runs out, or that well runs dry. And time alone needs to happen in order for those batteries to be recharged, for the well to fill up again. Whereas an extrovert seems to gain energy from going out among people. And so those batteries, I suppose they can also run dry, but it takes a lot longer, for that energy is constantly being renewed. Sort of like a Toyota, what's that, Prius? Now, I've been challenged recently by those who know better than I that the boundary between introverts and extroverts is not as firm and fast as I sometimes wrongly think. That sometimes introverts can be extroverted. And extroverts, I mean, there's not a firm difference between the two. Interesting thought. Now, this came to mind as I was thinking about this issue because of what this follows. For, as we heard last week, Paul was calling upon this young man he was mentoring to kind of take up the mantle. He was calling them to get out there and to be what God was calling him to be, to move on, and not only just to do it when he felt like it, but to do it also when he didn't feel like it, to persist, to continue on. Then Paul comes to what we heard here. And we hear a little bit in his words how he has been able to do that. Because I don't know. I didn't know Paul. All I just have to deal with was the letters that he wrote. I don't know if he was an introvert or an extrovert. Where he derived some of that outgoing energy that certainly he needed to go out beyond what he originally thought. I have a feeling I know where that energy came from. But let's just pay attention to that for a moment. For Paul talks here about expending himself. He talks about being poured out. And here I'm hearing energy, if you will, that outgoing energy to share the good news, to be with people, to be a messenger of the kingdom in Jesus' name. But he talks about it as being kind of a pouring out. Now, in these words, we may hear, especially since this is a text that we often read at funerals and memorial services, we may hear in these kind of the last stand of the apostle. In fact, some paraphrases and translations put it that my death is near, my time of departure is all that he says. It doesn't say that it means his death. It could be implied. I mean, it could be that he who is writing at this point from a prison is aware of the possibilities. I mean, when you are charged with a crime, and his crime was just simply saying things that were not popular, it could well be that one possibility was his death. I mean, maybe not at the hands of an executioner, but perhaps, you know, because prisons, at least back in those days, were not good places to be in. Lots of bad things could happen there, as they could happen elsewhere. But I'm not sure that that's what Paul fully had in mind here. Because we know that this was not the end of his ministry. In fact, we don't, and the tradition doesn't really tell us, like it does for like Peter and some of the others, what Paul's end was. We have some glimpses, but that's it. But we know that this was not his end. He went on. But here he is talking about what ministry, what being in Christ, what doing what God is calling to us is all about. It is a pouring out of who we are. Now, sometimes that pouring out is welcomed, but sometimes it is not. And in that kind of personal section that I read it for a reason, because in there we find, you know, talk of this Alexander who was in opposition to him. Now, sometimes the walk that God calls us to walk, the race which we are called to run, leads us through difficulties. It is not an easy race. And it would be all too easy to give up. As this, what was his name there? Did you catch it? This Demas, who kind of deserted the path and moved on to easier stuff. We go through difficulty. Now, getting back to where our energy comes from and shifting from introversion and extroversion, Paul, can I talk to you a little bit? I know once upon a time, Paul, and I didn't talk to him ahead of time about this, once upon a time you were a runner, right? Okay, now, you were a long distance runner, correct? Okay, when you were running, what's the furthest distance you ran?
Plus.
Okay, on that path, as you were running, did you ever reach a point where you felt you just could not go on any further? Did you reach that point where it was like you were hitting up against a wall? Okay, so, but there was always in the race, I've heard this, I guess I'm kind of setting you up for this, but I understand, because I am not a runner. I am not a runner by any matter of means. Never was, and definitely will never be again. But that there is that hitting the wall point when you just don't think you can go on. And then something happens. You get like, what do they call it, a second wind? Right? Or what did you ever call it? You just kept on going, but... Keep going.
I would devise ways of getting the problems I had and concentration on the next step, mostly by, with the marathon, there was always mile markers, knowing by watching my watch how far I was going and coming down, quarter mile for the last 6 miles.
Okay.
That overcame that wall.
That wall.
As a goal, each quarter mile was a goal.
So having that goal was pretty important for you. And there was a certain point beyond which you could go. Now, Sharon, I know you're in the library now, but I know as a swimmer, you probably have those times as well. And you just got to keep on going beyond that. So think about that pouring out that happens for the runner. And I have a feeling in every sport, for this is the imagery that Paul is using. You know, he's fighting the good fight. The fighting the good fight is more of an Olympic thing. That's the imagery that he has here. Fighting the good fight. Think of a wrestler. Running the race, but keeping on beyond that wall. Just keeping your eyes, I guess one way of putting it would be keeping your eyes upon the prize, the end result. That's what keeps you going. But it's not only that for us as Christians. It's you know, the strength that comes from God. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is a strengthening agent in our lives that keeps us keeping on. Last week we talked about persisting. Persistence, and this is a continuation of that. It's continuing to run the race. And it's the continuing that's really important. It's not that first burst of energy, because some of us may have that burst of energy better than others. But it's that energy that keeps us keeping on. Now, when I hear this pouring out, I hear a connection to a practice from long, long ago. Actually, the temple practice. I mean, nowadays when we talk about an altar, now in our church we don't call, for instance, the thing the altar. We call that what? The worship center? Because, you know, Jesus is the altar. You know, he replaced the temple altar as a place of sacrifice. So, I mean, I wasn't taught in seminary how to do sacrifices, so, you know. But in the days in which Paul was living, the days of Jesus, the temple was still there, and sacrifices were made. And what is spoken of here is a drink offering. That's what a libation is. It's a drink offering. And I would like to suggest to you that our lives are like a drink offering to God. Now picture, if you could, I mean, I know this is not the altar there in the temple, but picture if you will, you know, back in those days they would bring, you know, the animals and slaughter them and burn them. There was a burning that would happen upon the altar. I mean, if you need a vision, you know, an image, take your barbecue, okay, and the sounds, the smells of it or whatever, that it would be somewhat similar to this. Now, a drink offering would be something like some wine or something else that would have some alcoholic content in it that would be poured upon what is already burning. What's the sound that comes from that? Anyone? Crackling. Sizzling. Sizzling. In a way, this is sort of our lives. As we pour out ourselves into the tasks that God calls us to do, into the persons that God calls us to be, we are pouring out ourselves. Sometimes that puts us against a wall, and we don't think we can go any further. But then we just keep on keeping on, and we hear the sizzle. Running the race, fighting the good fight, keeping the faith is all about sizzling to the finish. And as I look out upon y'all, I don't see anybody who's finished yet. Right? We are still all on the way. So I'm inviting you to sizzle to the finish. In fact, wasn't it Jim Carrey? He had, I was going to use this title, but I decided not to because of how it could be. So what was that, the thing he'd often say, the comedian Jim Carrey? Can anybody guess what I'm going for? He would go, smoking. But I decided to go with sizzle. Brothers and sisters, are you still sizzling? Are you still sizzling to the finish? That's what we are called to do. As we are called to run the race. As we are called to fight the good fight. As we are called to keep the faith. Sizzle.